Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line to the Alex Stroh first pitch, if that's what we're going to call it. Haven't gotten to any of it yet, but we'll get to some of your comments as the show rolls on. Now we get to Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Did you see the Alex Stroh first pitch?
In 50 Cent Stroh's first pitch? Yeah.
50 Cent. Wow. More like, I don't know, 10, 9. It's got to be very low.
So maybe I'm misremembering. Like, it's Carl Lewis who sang the national anthem so poorly, right?
Yeah.
But I swear, like, 50 Cent, this is better than 50 Cent's first pitch, but I feel like it may have even been the Cubs. Josh, you fact-check me on this. But I think 50 Cent has one of the worst first pitches in, like, first pitch history.
Mets.
And it was the Mets?
I just pulled up the video.
Yeah, it's bad, and it's not. And so, in fairness to Stroh, it could have been worse, right? It could have been like his three-cone drill.
But the problem is, again, it's the way he approaches the activities with all the confidence in the world that it is going to go well. It's one thing if you go in and go, I don't know how this is going to go. Well, you know, we're gonna see together type of thing. But he goes in genuinely believing that it is going to be exceptional. He told Ben Brust, who texted us on the private talk and text line, Ben Brust said, Stroh told me I may need to wear a mask in case it comes in too fast.
But Jason, is this, you just don't know your limitations? Because I'll tell you why. You know, long snapping is a skill, right, Jason?
No doubt.
It's not easy to do. So I had a little Stroh in me where I thought I could hold for PATs and field goals. And I tried out for emergency quarterback, and none of them went well. And there was a little bit of delusion on my part. I think with Stroh, it's just, as I used to tell some of my kids in Pee Wee football, you ever think a band? I think that this is the case.
Yeah, you used the word I was going to use. I mean, I think he's just, like, look, I love confidence, right? I don't love cockiness or overconfidence, but I want you to be confident. I want you to believe in yourself. I don't want you to be delusional. And I just, like, does he, there's part of me that wants to know if he does this, and I'm just not in on the joke, because when I watch the three-cone drill, I mean, I still can't believe that's really him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought, okay, this has got to be a bit, right? And now, like, does he get up to the mound and say, all right, well, if I throw, like, a Ben Johnson splitter, like Ben Johnson did throwing out his first pitch, it's not as funny as if I sail it and almost kill Gil the mascot. So I want to believe that I'm just not, he's just so good at selling the joke that I don't realize that he's way better than this. But at some point, the preponderance of evidence tells us that he just stinks.
Yeah. Jason, could Luke Musgrave be the secret weapon on this offense this year?
Absolutely, he could. Yeah. Like, I talk a lot about how many players need to elevate and are facing pivotal seasons a lot. And I think he's one of, like, a dozen of them that I would put on the list. Like, let's not forget how excited everybody was about him. Like, I remember that 2023 training camp, and, like, one of the storylines, like, I can't remember if it was the NFL or somebody did how he was running at like 23 miles per hour or something. Like he was their fastest player running in pads during practice. And I just, he was going to be the guy that now Tucker Kraft has turned out to be. Now, all along, I think we had the opinion that while I may have compared Tucker to you, that Luke Musgrave was more the Keith Jackson,
mm-hmm.
right? He wasn't the blocker that Tucker we felt could be and the all-around tight end that you were. But if you have Tucker Kraft who's capable of that, just let Luke Musgrave be Luke Musgrave. And if he can, I mean, he's not as bad as Marshawn Lloyd in terms of bad luck injury-wise, but he's in the conversation, right? Like a lacerated kidney against the Chargers that not only, you know, derailed his rookie season, but opened the door for Tucker Kraft to get more opportunities. Because it was in that same game that Tucker Kraft had that ridiculous hurdle on the sideline, and we were like, "Oh, maybe this kid from South Dakota State's got a little something mm-hmm. that we haven't seen yet." But on top of that, then is the ankle injury last year. So yes, I think he is one of those players that has been, I don't want to say forgotten, because obviously if you can remember him, that's a good sign. But he is certainly someone who can really help them in his third year. That did not help him a whole lot last year.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Jason, Pro Football Focus put out a list of the top returning NFL head coaches entering 2025. And a little suspiciously, Matt LaFleur not on the list. Where should he rank amongst the returning NFL head coaches?
Yeah, I saw that too. And you know, we were having a not the same debate because this hadn't come out yet, but we were talking, Tausch and I were, about the NFC North head coaches and where LaFleur ranks there. And personally, because look, Ben Johnson, I made this comparison. Ben Johnson right now is Mike Holmgren 1992, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the hot candidate, the offensive guru who everyone wanted. And going back to last year, right, because he turned down opportunities with other teams last year and spent another year in Detroit, he's Mike Holmgren. Now, is he going to go and have the kind of seven-year run in Chicago that Holmgren had in Green Bay? I don't know. So we can't put him ahead of LaFleur right now, obviously. He hasn't even coached a game. I still am, and maybe Dan Campbell will bite my kneecap and tell me I'm wrong. But I still don't know, with two new coordinators, if Dan Campbell is as good as we have given him credit for, right? Because his first year, didn't he start like 1-7?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
And I was wrong about him. They've had a ton of success. I thought that the biting kneecaps, tough guy thing would have a shelf life with NFL players. And I was wrong. They've had a bunch of success, but I'd still rather have LaFleur. The only guy in the NFC North that I'd rather have than LaFleur is Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
I think Kevin O'Connell seems like he's got everything, right? He's got the connectivity with his players. He's got the really smart offensive concepts and play calling. Like, I really like Kevin O'Connell. Like, if I was covering the Vikings, I know I would really enjoy talking with him. So, and I'm pretty sure that Dan Campbell is on that list, right? So I would put LaFleur in the Dan Campbell spot, which I'm trying to picture it when I scrolled past it. Was he eighth?
Yeah, he was down there on the list. I'll pull it up again in front of me, so I have it in front of me. But
that's
yes,
fine.
He did make the list, but he was now near the bottom.
That's kind of where I'd put him. Yeah, I would put him, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in the second half of the top 10.
Jason, is Sean Clifford going to make this team?
Good question. Because, you know, obviously they did not feel uber confident in him last year that they went and acquired Malik Willis. And then Malik Willis to his credit, played really, really good football for them. I do think that we maybe have overestimated. Speaking of Matt LaFleur, like Matt LaFleur put together game plans, which I think is the mark of a good coach, that allowed his backup quarterback to be successful. Didn't ask him to do too much, but didn't ask him to just hand the ball off 100 times during those two games, right? I mean, the Tennessee game, he had to make some plays. The win over Jacksonville when he went into the second half, he made a hell of a throw to Jaden Reed. So I wouldn't want to see, and maybe I'm wrong about this too, like I was wrong about Dan Campbell, but I'm not convinced, you know, after essentially the equivalent of three games, right? Two starts and then a couple of halves, one against Jacksonville, one against the Bears in the finale. I'm not convinced that he'd be like a 10-game winner as a 17-game starter for somebody else. I could be wrong, and he could prove me wrong and shut me up on that. But there were people that seemed to think, you know, oh, after what he did last year, Packers should trade him for like a third-round pick to somebody who needs a starting quarterback. I'm not that, you know, head over heels for Malik Willis. I do like him, and I like what he's about. But, yeah, Sean Clifford is, like, they kept him as the third quarterback on the practice squad. But remember, they cut both him and the seventh-round pick, Michael Pratt, last year. And Pratt got picked up by the Buccaneers. He signed with their practice squad. I wonder how close that call was for them. And if Pratt said, no, I want to see if I can find something somewhere else. So, you know, I don't know if, and I always think of Jen when I pronounce his name because she gave us the phonetic assist of Taylor Elgersma. He feels like he's pretty far away, having just picked up football in the 10th grade in Canada. So I'm curious, you know, I would think that Sean Clifford would have to struggle to a pretty big degree to lose out to the Canadian import. Well, that's just my feeling.
The one detail that I think people kind of forget about is that in the past with Tom Clements there, he could kind of get his hands on these guys and you might expect some jumps in development and whatnot. Obviously not saying Sean Mannion can't do that, but we all sort of held Tom Clements in pretty high regard when it comes to QB. So it'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out with that transition as well.
Yeah, and look, maybe Sean Mannion, especially for Love, is exactly like now it's time for a different type of quarterbacks coach. And maybe that's the case here. So maybe it's actually a good thing for Love. What it is for those other guys, I'm not sure. But that's a good point that obviously, you know, if you're developing a guy, I don't think there's anybody you'd rather have than Tom Clements.
Before we let you go, Jason, how much of the Miz's outing did you catch yesterday at AmFam Field? We will talk about it as the show rolls on, but it was pretty electric out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just saw highlights. I did not see a single second of it. I can't watch Paul Skeens because every time I watch him, I hear Tausch mispronouncing his name as Paul Skeenis, which rhymes with another word. And so I can't
Mulva?
Keep a straight face. But that is exactly the word I was hoping, Dolores, you would come up with there. Yes, well done.
All right, Jason, have a good one. We will talk to you again soon.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after our very program here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, we still got to get to Skeens v. The Miz yesterday. Brewers walked out of there with a win to a sellout crowd at AmFam Field. We will talk about that. But I also want to dive into that list. Pro Football Focus lists the top 10 returning coaches in the NFL, and Matt LaFleur nowhere to be found. We'll discuss that as we roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Finding the right home is a journey. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes you got to be patient, but it should always be exciting. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams knows that. They're not just about closing deals. They're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit. Rob and Nick have been incredibly patient with us on our journey. Also informative and available throughout, it is so clear that their passion is working with the people. Whether you're ready to move right now or you're just starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling, the WeSell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at WeSell.kw.com. That's WeSell.kw.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff earlier.
From one white stiff to another. I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.